You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
If you do not teach people how to consume and get success with what they bought, not only will they not be successful, they'll assume that you didn't fulfill on what they bought. It's the weirdest psychology. It does not make sense to me, but it's so true.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey, what's going on? I want to teach you guys a pattern that I have been noticing, and it's a very strong pattern. Goes all the way from the one funnel challenge all the way down to, you know, now. it's literally almost every person that I see in their funnel. I first started noticing this really, I'd say about 3 or 4 months ago when the pattern became glaring. And as I noticed it, then I was able to look backwards and go, wow, almost every single person's funnel I've noticed is lacking certain types of sequences. And what Marley Jackson and I created was this really, we have this really awesome business about helping people get leads. We have no problem getting leads to someone's funnel. What we've noticed is that there is the follow-up problem that I have been looking at is that people don't know what to do with the leads that we send them. Does that make sense? So we're sending leads, we're sending things to them. And the next problem we've had to go tackle is teaching the company how to better actually use the leads that we're sending towards them. I found often that a lot of people, they have enough leads. They just don't know what to do with them, right? They don't treat the leads the way a lead should be treated in order to turn it to a sale and a long-term relationship with a buyer. And so I've been diving more into our clients' funnels and noticing the super strong pattern that people tend to get. If they're doing any kind of marketing, if they're doing any kind of content, if they do any kind of like anything, and they're getting traffic to the funnel, most of the time, yeah, everyone could use more traffic, but people don't do enough with the traffic that they're getting. And so my purpose of going and teaching this with you today is to share with you these five different sequences that I think through anytime I plan a funnel, and anytime I go build a funnel, and anytime I go put the funnel out there, because not only do they increase sales, they actually tee up a long-term relationship so they start ascending up your value ladder. Sound good? Because again, I found more often than not, people are getting enough leads. They just don't know what to do with them. So let me preface it this way. When I was a door-to-door sales guy, what we would do is we would get dropped off in our neighborhood every morning. And the rule was we had to sprint to the first door. Open that door, get out of the car, close it, and run. And the reason was to get over the jitters and the personal freak out that it is to just pitch and sell every day and go through all that rejection. And it's one of the best things I could ever do. I actively, purposely chose to go do it because I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And if I could not handle sales objection, I would be dead, right? I'd just be dead. And so that's why I was out there selling. Well, what we would do is we had a piece of paper that on a clipboard that every single day as we would knock each door, we would just keep track of the house numbers that answered and said no, or the house numbers that answered and said, you know what, maybe come back later. Let me talk to my spouse. Or why don't you come back and tell us more about this? Is this safe for my kids? You know, we sell pest control at the time. And this is originally how I actually got on the internet too. This is a year older than my oldest kid. So 9 years ago. Wow. Jeez. So we would run up to all these doors, and by about 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, what we would do is we would stop knocking new doors. And what we would do is we look at our list and we look at all of the house numbers, you know, the ones that are like, F you, go away, never come back, burn in hell. You know what I mean? Like the ones that like crazy rejection. Obviously, we didn't go back to those. What we did though is we had this list, this hot list of people who were like, hey, there might be some level of interest. And we only went back to those doors. What do you think happened? That's where most of the sales came. You go back to the people who are slightly interested. Now, it's no different in a sales funnel. Okay, it's no different in a sales funnel. When somebody comes to the first page, essentially that's what's happening. Page one of your sales funnel, they're coming in saying, is this cool or should you get lost, right? And if there's any level of interest at all, they're at least opting into the first step inside of your funnel. Let me draw this out here. Y'all know that I draw like crazy. I don't know, just I think like that. So someone helped me realize, I think in objects more than words, which is why I draw so much. Anyway, so now I want you to imagine this. Let's say that we got, so this is a sales funnel right here. I'll try and draw this as straight-ish as possible here, but let's just draw like the standard funnel. So we got like a standard sales funnel right here. All right, let's say it's, you got page one, and let's say this is just a normal opt-in, right? Page number two is, let's say the first page is a sales page. This page is the actual order page itself. Right, so you're actually collecting money on this page, right? Then you have a few upsells. Let's say for the speed of this example, that this is, it has one upsell, and then there's a thank you page. Now, my purpose here right now is to share with you the five different sequences that I think through on every single funnel. And this is not just so that you can get better sales. It is so that you treat the leads better. You literally create a stronger relationship with the people who are coming into your funnel world or your business in general. So imagine this, just like that door-to-door example, if somebody was coming in and they were saying, you know, no one has 100% success rate. That's been a funny thing too with some of the new clients that I've worked with who are not used to funnels. They're like, how come I don't have 100% opt-in rate? Is it, are you kidding me? Like that's like a door-to-door salesperson literally getting a sale on every door. That just doesn't happen. No one's going to be that way. All right. So the first sequence that I, well, let me finish the example first. So, right. There's only a few people that will move forward on the opt-in, right? Then a smaller amount, go to the next one. Then a smaller amount, go to the next one. Smaller amount, go to the next one. So the question is, how do you increase your sales without being annoying? How do you increase your sales whilst also taking advantage of the leads that are coming in? I was talking about this yesterday with someone. Leads either make or break a business. Meaning, if you do not have enough leads in your business, it's interesting to see what happens to the business owner. The business owner will often begin to create new offers to sell old leads or old buyers. That's nothing wrong with that, but it keeps you in a launch business if you can't get enough leads in the door. The exact opposite can also be detrimental. If you have too many leads, it can bury your business. Leads is really the name of the game once the funnel is like built, right? When you got the funnel done, it's straight leads game. It's all about traffic getting. That's it. And being able to control it, that's why what Marley and I have created are so proud of it, because being able to control it with a lever and a spigot, it's like, oh, it's too many leads. And you go turn it down a little bit. And you're like, ooh, I could use a little bit more leads. And you turn it up a little bit. And being able to have that little machine in the front end of this that sends you stuff and sends you traffic, you know, it's to the degree your business can handle without killing it, because you can grow too fast. I've done that, right? I've almost killed 3 companies doing that. Traffic is not the problem, right? It's being able to handle it. That's the problem. And there's just not enough structure under here to handle that thing. So anyway, let me dive into these so I don't just keep rambling here. Sequence number one, the first sequence that we need to create when anytime I'm thinking about a funnel is how is traffic itself. So let me draw these. And sequence number one, and these again are not that you have to build them in this order, but it is definitely the order I think of them in, because the others don't matter unless you can do the ones that are earlier. All right, so sequence number one is what I call the promo sequence. And I'll show you an example of some of my previous funnel designs. I usually draw just a little email icon. And then whenever I'm talking to a copywriter, whenever I'm talking to one of my copywriters or someone that I've hired, I will draw out usually five email boxes and I'll say, hey, I want at minimum five emails that will promote this URL. Okay. So that's the first sequence that I think through. And when I'm thinking through it, I'm thinking of my general list, people who would be interested in, I don't email everyone everything all the time. I used to do that. That's a big mistake. What I do is I email the people who are most similarly interested to the thing that they've opted into. Is this making sense? I'm here with you guys now. Does it make sense? Again, hopefully this is helpful. So sequence number one is all about how can I get eyeballs and people to page one. This is important. I bring that up for a reason. That's the page one's focus right there. Sequence number one. And I'm sending that again to, if you're not familiar with this term or this world, we call it the general Seinfeld list, meaning it's your big list. It's the list of just about everybody, you know, unless there's certain scenarios without, but it's the one that I'm going to send to the most people for sure, going to the masses as much as it is applicable. So this is the general, I'll just say general list. All right, so that's the general list right there. All right, now the second sequence that I send, let's walk through the sales process. The sales scenario right here is that somebody has come in and they've actually opted in. They're like, you know what? I have a little bit of interest in that, right? Just like door-to-door sales. You know what? I'd be slightly interested in this. Why don't you come back a little bit later? And so now, let's say it's for a free thing. If you're getting like 50% opt-in rate for a free thing, you're crushing it, right? I'm happy when I have like 30%. A 30% opt-in rate for something that's free. You still got to sell things that are free, by the way. Sales has very little to do with money. That's when it comes down to the offer, but it's another conversation. So let's just say that it's an email. And again, this is not just for email. If you're like, well, I mostly do this kind of sequence or medium, then that's fine. Just I use these sequences. Let's say that it's Instagram messages or this is DMs or whatever. Whatever. This is just the sequences that I use in any funnel scenario. All right. So that's number one. Number two is really just this very specific follow-up sequence. So let's say somebody comes in and they put their email in, all right, and then they click the submit button. Well, I want to be able to, I often draw lists like buckets. Like it's a bucket of names. So that's my symbol. My team knows that's my symbol for list. And then I'll put the exact name of the list that I want my ClickFunnels account right next to it. And so we'll call this one follow-up. All right, so that's the follow-up sequence. And what I'll do is usually another five emails right here. And the purpose of these emails is now to get them to come back to the order page. Okay, they all just go back to the order page. And I'm using things like soap opera series, if you don't know what those are, or then you know you can look those up. This is also a mini webinar script. I use the mini webinar script everywhere. Origin story, vehicle, internal, external, pitch. All right. So that's why it's five. I do that for podcasts. I'm doing it right now. Okay. But so anyway, promo, follow-up sequence. And a lot of times I like to use what we call, and I'm not trying to get techno-babbly on this, but a lot of times on these pages, we'll have what we call a two-step order form, right? Where the first step is where they put in general information and step two is where they put in credit card stuff. And so what we like to do is, in fact, this takes me back to a story with a ClickFunnels. There's a guy we built a funnel for. I don't remember. Russell and I were building for, I don't remember who it was. It was, I think it was an e-com company. I remember who it was now. Okay. It was an e-com company. And we kept telling them, hey, we need to give you guys what we call a seen but not purchased sequence. So this is the next sequence. All this is pre-purchase, by the way. All this is pre-purchase. And these are a lot of the sequences that are missing when I'm looking at clients' stuff, right? Marlene, we'll be sending traffic. We'll be looking at the stuff. And they'll be like, well, we're not getting all these sales. We're like, okay, but we're sending you all these people every month. What are you doing with them? Right? That's where the hole is. Is people don't do anything with them. And they're like, oh, I'm not getting enough traffic. You're like, no, you just treat your current traffic bad, right? Most companies, if they're doing just the bare minimums, everyone could use more traffic, but man, treat the existing leads better. And it's amazing how much more money you make and how talkable your business becomes. Okay. So sequence number one is the promo sequence. Sequence number two is I call it the follow-up sequence. Sequence number three is we call it the seen but not purchased sequence. Okay. Three. Awesome. So one, two, Three. So number three is the seen but not purchased. So we just put S, B, and P, seen but not purchased sequence. And we tend to make that, this e-com company, they were super, super hesitant to let us write a three-part sequence to those who've seen the offer but had not purchased. And we were like, you don't understand. I remember we made this video and we sent it to them. We're like, you guys don't understand. When we put a seen but not purchased sequence in, almost every time we get a 5% increase in sales. Just those three emails. Okay. And emails are to the effect of something like, hey, we saw that you started to order. This gets sent to people who began filling out the form but didn't finish buying. Seen but not purchased, right? Began filling out but not purchased. Right? Filled everything except their credit card, but not purchased. That's the scenario I'm talking about right here. So they saw but didn't purchase. When we send emails specifically to that scenario, right, we're guiding them right back to the order page to go complete their purchase. And that's kind of what the tonality of those emails is about. Hey, we saw that you started your order, but you didn't finish. Did something happen? Something broken on the page? Did something break on your internet? Did you just get simply distracted, right? Do you still want this thing because it's an e-com, you know, whatever scenario it is, and we tie back to urgency and scarcity. Okay, so that's sequence number three. Let me finish drawing out these other two, and I want to teach you more about how we manage them, because one of the fears people have is like, look how many emails you're sending. I'm like, yeah, well, it's still sales, right? By the way, we'll do seen but not purchased sequences sometimes also for upsells. So if someone didn't buy on the OTO or the upsell, there's really cool automation in ClickFunnels where you can put like, hey, we saw that you bought this, but didn't, or we saw that you were offered this. It's a one-time offer. You can only do this when it really is a one-time offer. I hate fake scarcity and urgency in the internet marketing world. It plagues our world. I'm so sick of it. Urgency and scarcity can be real. You can actually find something that's real, urgency and scarcity. So find something that's real with it. But on this upsell, what we'll do is we'll say, check this out. We gave you this one-time offer. We're never going to bug you about this again, but you know, click this link right here to get taken back to this OTO page and complete your purchase if you're interested. You know, sometimes we'll do that like 24 hours later or even 7 days later. And just that one.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Email. Nothing else, no more. Anyway, all right. So those are very much the, except for the scenario I was talking about there, almost all those are pre-purchase. So what do you do when someone has purchased? So two more sequences here, okay? They matter like crazy. Guys, you're gonna make so much more money. Disclaimer, whatever I gotta say there. You will most likely make a lot more money if you just treat your leads better and follow up with them. I can't tell you how much I appreciate when a salesperson respectfully follows up with me consistently over time. I love that. To me, it means that they believe in their own product. You can always tell when a salesperson doesn't believe in the product and they just want the commission, right? So I love it when someone's like, yeah, we just haven't followed up here and you just haven't bought yet. But anyway, just let us know what questions you have. Like, I don't know if people get weird about that. I also love it when you're like in the middle of a pitch and someone's like, this guy's just pitching something. I'm like, dude, I wear a red pig on my chest and parade in the marketplace as a capitalist. Of course I'm pitching you something. Right? And you want me to teach you how to pitch something? Are you getting mad that you're watching someone do it? Like, it's the best education ever. Come on. Anyway, drives me nuts. So that's besides the point. All right. So here is sequence number four. Sequence number four that I go do is, I call it a consumption series. And the consumption series is a new list. Here's the scenario. Someone has now decided to buy. And so after they buy, they get added to a new list, right? It's the buyer's list. I could do a whole course on list management. It's not the point of it right here though. So I'm just going to stop. But the point is that on your order page, right, you've got the offer and you're like, hey, you're going to get this and this and this, whatever, dot, dot, dot. The point of the consumption series is exactly that. The consumption series, that's what I call it, or sequence, consumption sequence. Okay, check this out, is number four, consumption sequence. And what it is it is the access email, but far more. So a lot of people, capitalist pitch slap. That might be a new shirt right there. That's a good one right there. Okay, but what I like to do with the consumption series is a few things. It's usually, well, let me just kind of write it out here and I'll kind of explain it. The first thing that I do is I remove them from the follow-up list, right? Meaning these lists, the pre-purchase lists, I don't want them to keep getting those emails. They just bought. So the first thing I do is an action in ClickFunnels that says remove from the follow-up sequences. The people who've opted in but not purchased, whether that be the seen but not purchased or the follow-ups. I never remove somebody from the general Seinfeld, but from specifically these two, I don't want to keep following up with them. They just bought. So the first action I do is they've been added to the buyers list because they just bought, but I'm going to remove them from the follow-up so that they stop getting those emails. The very first email that I send is at 0 hours, meaning immediately, and it is the access email, meaning if there's any links or let's get on, you know, whatever it is that they bought. It's access to the thing that they purchased. But I'm not done. And this is, again, a super key piece, super key piece. If you do not teach people how to consume and get success with what they bought, not only will they not be successful, they'll assume that you didn't fulfill on what they bought. It's the weirdest psychology. It does not make sense to me, but it's so true. So what I do is for the next, honestly, it's however many things were in the offer. Let's say that I have three things in the offer. That means I'll have four emails. The first email is the access email. And then the next three emails in a row are highlighting every single piece of that offer, where it is, how to get it, someone else who's successful with it, and an invitation to now go use that thing. Does that make sense? So let's say if I, in my offer, I've got five things in my stack, right? It's five things in the stack itself. That means I'll have six emails because one will be the access, and I'll remind them access on every single email, but every email thereafter is highlighting the next part of the offer that they bought, right? Where it's like, look, did you know? So I've got five emails drawn right here. Let me just move over one more. And the point is like, hey, thing number one in that email, or sorry, thing number one in the offer you just got. I don't know if you know this, but it helps you do, again, if you didn't see this part of the pitch, never assume that they consumed previous marketing. It's one of the biggest lessons I've learned from yesteryear's gurus, okay? Especially in campaigning. And you still have to campaign to get people to consume what they bought from you. If you don't do this, the problem is they don't use it And then the storyline gets pushed around in the marketplace that you never fulfill. And you're like, what the heck? I gave it to you. What are you serious? You got the thing. Are you kidding me? It'd be like buying, here's an example. Like I just put together a new dresser for my daughter upstairs, literally right above the room that I'm in right now. And let's say that I bought the dresser, but there were no instructions that came with it. I would be pissed. I'd be like, this thing sucks. Does it? Probably not. What does suck? I don't know how to use it. That's the point here that I'm trying to say is you have to teach people how to consume every aspect and be successful with every aspect in the shortest amount of steps possible. Consume every single aspect of the thing that they just bought, or they will assume that it's a bad offer, even if it isn't. And so that's why this is so key. So thing number two in the offer, thing number three, thing number four, thing number five, and each one of those are sending them to whatever it is. Let's say it was a members area. Cool. It's going to go to the members area. Or let's say that it's an e-com thing. And you're teaching them some aspect of the thing, right, that they now have, or telling them about what they will have. Hey, by the way, it's in the mail. It's coming out to you. Let's say you know that you ship in 72 hours. Well, all right. Well, on email number three, on day three, 3 days after, I'm telling them, hey, we're about to get this thing out in the mail to you. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to feel like. This is what's going to, the success you're going to have with it. It doesn't matter if this is online or offline, if it's something that's digital or physical, if it's a service or it's a physical good. Like, it doesn't matter. You're teaching consumption of what they bought. All right, this is one of the ways, if you saw some of my previous stuff, this is one of the ways you create a program on the program. This is how you create a program on top of the offer so that they know how to use the thing. And this is one of the ways that I do that. I've gone so far now that this will be a 6-month sequence that's guiding somebody through a 6-month program. And that's kind of what I mean when I've said that in the past. Okay, all right. Now, the final one here, which is really, if you've done a good job teaching someone to consume, if you've done a good job supporting, you've done a great job helping someone, you know, get their questions answered, all that stuff. Sequence number five is really, really easy. And it's just called this. We just call it the ascension sequence. This ascension sequence matters a lot because it's one of the easiest ways to get more people to move forward with you to the next thing in your value ladder. People do not know the other stuff you have. You know your business better than anybody else, which is a blessing and a curse. I made this mistake quite a while ago where there was a guy, I was at a mastermind and everyone was presenting, taking turns. And I remember this guy got up and he was in a crazy situation. He got up and he had a business partner that screwed him over and left him with like, there's a big boy, you know, like e-com business. They hit him with like this, like $2 million in an IRS bill. Isn't that crazy? Just destroyed him. $2 million, some obscure millions of dollars in IRS taxes got pinned on this guy because his business partner screwed him, stole from the company and then left. And we were all in the mastermind and he's telling the story and we were like, oh my gosh, just totally gutted over this thing, right? Like, oh man. And I remember this changed how I do business. He got off stage and, you know, everyone was talking and we were all networking and chatting. And there was a chance where he and I finally got to speak and interface. And he looked at me and he goes, Steven, I need you to know something. He said, if you had been louder about what you have, I cannot tell you and cannot shake the feeling that I would not be in the situation that I'm in now. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I realized that I was not doing a good job teaching the marketplace on what I had to offer. I mean, it's not, I was doing the promos, right? I was doing all the stuff. What I wasn't doing was ascending. I wasn't tying my offers together. I wasn't teaching people, hey, when you're done with this, one of the next best places to go, right? Once you solve this problem, the next one you'll probably run into is this one, which I have, you know, XYZ offer for. Just a subtle, simple, informative pitch. And so we call it the ascension sequence. And I like to do a minimum of 3 emails for that at the end of every single funnel. And its whole purpose is to teach somebody what that next thing is that you've got. And I'm using the pitch, right? It's vehicle, internal, external. And I'm subtle and I'm dropping social proof in every single one of those emails. And I'm with singular focus, inviting them to go to that next thing. We do the same thing on thank you pages, right? We'll call it an offer wall. Hey, here's 3 other things. Now that you just bought that thing, here's 3 other things you could go grab. And being able to do that is not nerdy, needy, annoying, Sales is one of the most prestigious careers on this entire planet, especially when you have a good thing to sell. And you owe it to the customer to let them know what else you can help them with, right? I'm saying this because I had false beliefs about money, so much so that I kind of pulled a Batman, where Batman is afraid of bats, so he became Batman. I was kind of afraid of money, so I became this cash flow, you know, capital's pig dude and put that on my chest. I'm just literally one of the main reasons I did it as well. There's a lot of marketing reasons, but that's another reason why I really did it. Okay, telling someone what else they can buy from you is a service that is powerful. It's a very good and honorable thing to do. And in fact, because of stories like the one from that mastermind, like it's a good thing to go, like it is a disservice. That's the word I'm looking for. It's a disservice to not tell someone else what else you can go sell them. Okay, cool. So those are the five sequences that in every funnel that I think through. Okay, and where what most people don't do much follow-up. They'll maybe have an access email, but that's it. Most never ascend. Seen but not purchased is definitely not there. And the promo sequence is like an email instead of a sequence. Well, again, why is it five? It's all about that mini webinar script. Origin story, vehicle beliefs, internal, external, offer pitch. I'm still pitching in each one of them and pushing them to that first page. But the focus and the message of each of those emails is shifting. Bam, 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 bam. Pushing people to that first page right there. Rocked on. Love it, guys. Hey, let me know if there's any questions you have. I love doing these. I'm going to start teaching more. I got a really cool message from Russell last week, and it was a personal message, but I just want you to, I'll say this one part of it, and it kind of like shook me. He and another buddy of mine reached out recently on separate occasions, and they were like, Steven, you're a funnel builder. Freaking act like it, man. Get back out there and start teaching funnel stuff. And I was like, I know. All right. Sounds good. Anyway, you guys are amazing. Thanks so much for being in this group. Appreciate it like crazy. I am definitely going through a shift of my own. I'm excited to go through that. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that I'm stuck on right now is just naming what I want my newsletter to be. Is it capitalist something focused? Is it, I'd love you guys, you know, there's my give. So here's my ask, just like we do in a mastermind. So this is mastermind format in this moment with you guys. What should I call that newsletter? I want it to be a platform where I can tell rich dead guy stories, where I can teach modern marketing funnel strategies, you know, where I can, and funnels, offers, pitching. You know, I sat down to start writing down my list of book ideas that I want to start writing on. And I only came up with 12 ideas in a single setting. I was like, oh crap. So I'm coming back to that. I had a coach of mine during Funnel Hacking Live lean over to me and he goes, Steven, you're a thought leader. You should probably start owning it. And I was like, oh, why do I have such a pushback on that? I think it's just because I see so many slimy, disgusting, this isn't a slam, but it kind of is. People who don't know the heck they're talking about getting up and acting like a guru. And it's like, come on. So I don't know. It's just that term drives me nuts. I'm like, come on, thought leader. Like, so I got to come up with a new term so I can identify with it a little bit better. But I am in a spot right now where I know 99% of the structure I want to go build, the literal final piece and the order to build it in, which will probably take me a year to do it right, solid, well, you know. But what I really want to go put in is this whole continuity platform where I can continue to teach off the cuff like I just have been doing the last couple of days with you guys, because I miss it. And it's where my gift comes out. Modern Marketing Weekly. That's a cool name. Listening to your old podcast this morning about publishing your journey. Yeah, right. I love it. Very cool. And this is me just being open. So I'm just being open about it, you know, science of dot, dot, dot. Yeah. I'll probably change the name of this group back to something sciencey, less so broad with capital. It's not narrow enough. It's too broad. It's a good title for general entrepreneurship, but it's too broad because I want to teach funnel and marketing and like internet stuff. It's too broad of a title of a group. So I got to narrow, you know, just a little bit. So modern day wizards. Anyway, that's where I'm right now. So I've just been brainstorming and mulling on it. And eventually I find it when I do that. Awesome, guys. You're great. Thanks so much. Thanks for being in this group. I am working hard to also clean up the group. I'm studying some different strategies from different people as well on simple ways to add the most value without doing 3-hour lives every day, you know, because no one wants that either. So there's a weird, you know, striking the balance here. Anyway, behind the secrets. Hey, there we go. There we go. Yeah. Anyway, you guys are great. Rock on. See you guys later. Go implement this. I'd love to know what happens when you do. See you guys. Bye.
One of my good buddies, Ben Moot, is still one of the best funnel hackers I know. The level of detail he pulls from his funnel hacks is frankly astounding. So one day I said, hey, Mr. Ben Moot, what if we went through every single one of the offers from the two Comma Club Award winners and see what we can learn? We'll look at all their funnels, their offers, the pages, and we'll see what patterns pop up. And so we did. And it took about $20,000 and a team of people 2 full years. We went deep. The entire goal is to show you offers that won. And you can buy the PDF of the entire thing for just $7 at offersthatwon.com or upgrade and we'll ship you out the beautiful 300-page book for the physical copy. If you want a swipe file of 109 offers that won, listed by category, price points, and industry with pieces of commentary and lessons throughout, and if you also want to see what offers are actually making a ton of money, this is the most simple $7 you will ever spend. Go get your copy at offersthatwon.com and be sure to check out the really cool free 2-hour video commentary that Ben and I did together on the entire book. It actually comes with it. Again, that's offersthatwon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.